Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations, my friends. I always love circling up with women who are on the path, just like me, on the path of self-discovery, on the path of healing, the path of diving deeper into their truth. And it's hard for me to believe that 7 years, this is the seventh anniversary of Inspired Conversations. And I love every single conversation I bring you. You know why? I learn as much as you learn. So today we're going to be talking about embracing self-love as a path to healing and why tapping into self-love and self-worth can transform your life in so many ways. Joining me today is Jenny Mannion, an old friend. She's an international best-selling author, speaker, highly sought-after intuitive, self-love activator, and a media personality. It was through healing herself from 7 years of several debilitating chronic diseases in 3 weeks that Jenny found her passion to help others. As an intuitive healer, mind, body, spirit mentor, and energetic catalyst, she inspires people to connect with their inner power, develop greater healing and expansion, and create the lives they desire. This magical woman is certified in over 15 healing modalities, which I'm sure we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Jenny.
I am so grateful to be here, Linda. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. We've been connected for so long, and you've been on the show way back when it first started. And I said, I've been watching everything you've been doing in the world, and you know, I just love you anyway.
I love you too.
And I said, it's time to get Jenny back on the show. And it's one of my favorite topics because, like so many women, Jenny, I struggle with the same thing, with self-love, self-worth, even though I didn't know that was my struggle. Like patterns kept repeating in my life. And as you know, the core issue really came down to my self-worth, how much I loved myself. So let's start there. What led you to becoming a self-love activator?
Yeah, my own whole lot of struggles with it, as well as when I started coaching others, recognizing that that is a limit that we all really struggle with, our self-love, our self-worth. We're taught how to treat others kindly, but we're really not taught to treat ourselves that kindly, and that it's okay to love ourselves. It's okay to put ourselves first. And as women, I find it even more challenging because we're natural givers, and it becomes very hard to feel worthy of receiving. There's like an imbalance. Women like to give too much. They give to their kids, they give to their partners, they give you whatever career they have. So they give to their home, you know, their abode, make it a real home. So really tapping into that awareness of those limiting beliefs, I call myself a recovering perfectionist, and that is part of it too, almost like that people pleasing, trying to please everyone else to make myself worthy, and recognizing what some of those patterns and habits came from, as well as meeting my clients and just finding that self-love is really a barrier to, or the lack of self-love is a barrier to a lot of things manifesting that we say we would like to manifest, but it can't come to fruition until we really embrace that self-love and self-worth.
Oh, that really resonates. And for me, I think this year, this month, actually, it's 30 years as an entrepreneur for me that I've been, you know, owning my own businesses. And I have to say, it was the journey of becoming an entrepreneur. Way back then, I was a single welfare mom. I had just got off welfare. For me, it was manifesting in my life, unbeknownst to me, was I was always doing 16-hour days, like, I will prove my worth. I will win every business award because I didn't have the internal validation of my worth. So, of course, what did I do in my 30s? Chase my worth. Do you hear that a lot with clients too?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is this chasing. It is this, I need to do more or become more to be worthy. And that is not truth, as we know. Yeah, our soul, our true self knows that we are always worthy. But, you know, there's a difference between always wanting to do more. Of course, you know, I know I'm never going to stop learning and becoming more, but loving ourselves where we are, loving ourselves for that journey that we've taken, loving ourselves for the challenges that we've overcome, and just simply loving ourselves because we woke up today, you know, and we are worthy of that love. We show that love to our loved ones. We show that love to our pets, and we usually treat our loved ones and our pets much kinder than we treat ourselves.
That's so true. There was this, like, I'm one that I love if I have a focus question when I'm trying to change something in my life, you know, whether it's eating habits, a relationship issue, whatever it may be. And when I was healing my self-worth, you know, back then, and of course it's a continuing journey.
Yes.
I asked myself this question because I used to have wicked, as many women can relate, that internal chatter, that negative Nelly would rear a head up, right? So I always, my question would be, Linda, would you say that to your best friend?
Yes.
Or your granddaughter? Then why are you saying it to yourself? Because we know the answer is no. If some of the stuff we say to ourselves internally, you know, the negative chatter, we would never say to our best friend or a granddaughter or daughter, why the hell are we saying it to ourselves? And that was my pivot question, right? So that I could catch myself. Did you experience something similar to, like, learning from you?
My self-talk was brutal. And I think most people's self-talk is brutal from what I've experienced. And the quote or the statistics that I heard is that we have 60,000 thoughts a day, 95% of them are the same as yesterday, and 80% are negative. So that gives us a whole lot of wiggle room to work with and to really retrain our brain. And the best way is to become mindful, to start hearing those messages. And even when we're sick, we tend to beat ourselves up. I know when I was sick, I was berating myself about not being a good enough wife, not being a good enough daughter or mom, not being able to show up for the things I wanted to show up. So even when we're sick, we don't give ourselves a break.
Oh, I know that. After last summer, recovering for 8 weeks, I was so much gentler with myself last year when I had emergency surgery than, you know, things in the past. And as I was navigating that journey, I noticed the difference in my self-talk last year than it was a few years ago. And I'm like, whoa, you've come a long way, baby.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I took 2 months off this summer to heal. And I'm blessed that my business runs, can run without me, but I gave myself permission. That is huge for me. In the past, it would be my business. I can't let down my clients. I can't let down anything. I can't let down my guard. I'm not in that energy anymore. And it's such a healing place to be. And I know in the work that you do through your books, your programs, it's about bringing women back to that truth of, for them.
Absolutely. When we honor ourselves, we generate that empowerment too, to know we can do anything. But it does begin with that deep self-care and self-love. And that is body, mind, and soul. You know, I know a lot of people talk about the taking care of the body, but there is also the mind and soul that needs to be taken care of. And how we talk to ourselves is a huge part of that. Our body, and they're all interrelated. Our body's always creating cells. So if we're concentrating on what's bad, what's negative, we're really not giving our body the opportunity to create those happy, healthy cells. So I love that you took that time for yourself, Linda. And I love that you recognized how much you've changed and grown. And it is so important to recognize that growth that we've had, and to stop focusing on, you know, we're not there yet. We still have more to do, but to really just honor where we are and how far we've come.
Yeah. That's such an important topic too, because for women, we are always measuring ourselves against some freaking thing, whether it's the world or social media. Like, well, look at her. For me, I was always one, especially in my 30s and 40s, and I, for reference, I'll be 60 this year. I was always on to the next thing. Like win a business award, on to the next thing. I never, ever, back then especially, took the time to drop in and celebrate a moment, right? Whether, I don't mean just business success, little moments in your life, right? And I'm like, what is it with women? We can celebrate someone else, but we don't celebrate ourselves. So in my work with clients, I've been bringing that in because I'm seeing a pattern of, okay, I accomplished this. And then it's like, what's next? I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Do you feel that? You created something out of nothing. Do you find that true too in the clients that you work with? Because I know you work with individuals around the world. Are you seeing that pattern of they're not even present in their success? Success meaning more than just business. I'm talking about.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. We will celebrate other people, but it is very hard for us to really give ourselves that credit and gratitude, you know. And I'm even thinking back when you were talking about that, I thought back to a point in my life when I had really, you know, accomplished something huge that I'd been working on for months. And I remember even during the event, this almost little sadness or like, oh my God, what's next? This fear, like not just sinking into that moment of that gratitude for what I had accomplished, but like beating myself up about, I don't know what's next. And just how much that is so important to watch your self-talk and really give yourself credit for every, you know, every little thing. And we do so much as women and we don't give ourselves credit. Even making a meal for someone is so kind and generous, but I don't see too many moms giving themselves credit for packing their kid a lunch or making a meal or showing up for someone. So it is really important, every little success, and that will empower you, just as if you were cheering on your child when they got that award. We need to do that for ourselves as well.
Oh, it's so true. And Jenny, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about why you've discovered self-worth is so important in helping us create the life we desire.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. And with me is Jenny Mannion. You can learn more at jennymannion.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Jenny Mannion. And we're talking about self-love and why embracing self-love is a powerful part of your healing journey. So in your work, Jenny, you've discovered that self-worth is so important for creating the life you desire. And in a way, when I hear creating the life you desire, I always go into that beautiful manifesting energy, right? Because I believe we can. So let's talk about that. How are the two related?
They're related in every way, because say we've had a teacher tell us we're not smart enough. Say we've had relationships that have reflected that lack of self-worth. We really won't feel like we deserve more. I know we've all seen, you know, people, and maybe in our own life, we've had times where we've chosen relationships that are not our highest good. And we do teach people how to treat us. So if we are standing in self-worth, if we are standing in self-love, we will set healthy boundaries. We will know that we deserve our dream career and our dream relationship and friends that reflect that inspiration and a healthy body and all of these things. We do deserve those things. And having that self-worth allows us to tap into that power of manifestation to bring those things to us. Whereas if we feel not worthy, we're going to attract relationships, situations, jobs that reflect that back to us instead.
What you said is just really resonating with me, because what you said about we teach people how to treat us, Jenny, right? And for me, that's been an important part of my healing journey. And it wasn't until I healed that part of myself that I could manifest and create, because I was coming from a more empowered place. Is that what you see too in your work?
That is absolutely true, Linda. We need to heal that part of ourselves and be gentle with that part of ourselves. If we're not feeling worthy, there is something that caused that trigger in our life. Maybe it was that boss that talked harshly to us, or that teacher, or a parent, or a relationship, a sibling. It could have been from other places. And unfortunately, we take in the negative criticism a lot more to heart than the positive compliments usually. So really working on what is our true belief about ourselves, what have we been repeating? Sometimes they are very, very different, but it's really in looking at it that we can come to terms and start being a lot gentler with ourselves.
That is such an important part, because I look back at my life and even the relationships, you know, going back, I've been with Dana now 27 years, so we'll go back 30, 35. Loved everyone I was with, but now from a different perspective, I look back and go, I can see why I attracted that person, right? Like, you know, when you look back and you go, Oh, that's where I was energetically and self-worth, No wonder, you know, and then I have someone now, like I said, for 27 years, Dana, and I'm like, oh, I can see where I was when I met him. I had healed my stuff. Of course, we're always still healing.
Yeah,
stuff,
I know what you mean.
It doesn't end, but I know I couldn't have drawn him to me, right? If I still had those wounds, if I had never looked at them, I would have just kept co-creating the same relationships over and over again.
You are so right. And I feel the same about my relationship. We've been together 7.5 years and it just gets deeper and more beautiful when it started off like that. But that was because I took the time after my separation to really go deep and go within and heal those places that needed to be healed. So I wasn't creating the same thing over and over again.
So true. So we just covered like how self-worth can affect our relationships. And how about success? I have a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, coaches, creatives, artists that listen. I know from my own experience, and I'm curious on yours, that your self-worth definitely affects your success, whether you're an entrepreneur or in business or in life, and your abundance. Because if you are vibrating at a I am not worthy level, how can you bring that in? Is that what you found in your work, you know, as a healer?
That is definitely what I found in my work as a healer.
Yeah.
And abundance is a very challenging one, because there are ancestral patterns there too. You know, what have our parents told us about money? What do we feel rich people are like? You know, there's so many conversations that we've had in our head repeatedly about money. And then you go into our self-worth and we judge ourselves harshly. Am I worthy of? I've seen so many healing practitioners that don't want to charge. Like, didn't you study that? Didn't you pay money for those classes? You know, doctors charge. They don't necessarily heal the person. Sometimes they're giving them a prescription, but they charge for their time. Like, really getting people to understand energy, money is energy. And energy exchange, and how we feel about ourselves definitely affects what kind of career or what kind of success we're able to bring into our lives.
Oh, most definitely. And like you said, the ancestral, I grew up, you know, middle class, but we struggled. And I can even remember that, you know, and I'm sure everyone's going to raise their hand on this. My mom would always go, "What do you think? Money grows on trees?" Like, and I still can hear, I can actually hear her voice still 60 years later. And would go to the grocery store. And with four kids, everyone wanted a different box of cereal. And she'd go, "No, one box." And I remember going, "When I get older, I'm going to have as many boxes of cereal as I want." Right? It's little things.
But see, yeah.
Unconsciously, seeds were planted. And then when I became a welfare mom, I was blessed that I had the system supported me for a couple of years till I got off and then opened my business. But I carried the persona, the energy of, oh, I was a high school dropout, runaway, and welfare mom. You feel that energy?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I healed it, I go, "No, Linda, that's not who you are. That is a period of your life that you experience, but it's not who you are." But I had to heal that because that had its own energy around abundance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so grateful you did heal that. You've brought so much joy to the world, and knowing, you know, people understanding that we all do have our gifts and loving those pieces of us that feel, you know, feel broken or feel sad, feel like they've been damaged, like really loving ourselves as we would a friend or a loved one that had gone through something, really understanding that our past doesn't have to define us and limit us unless we tell ourselves it is going to.
Oh, so true. And there's a moment on my healing timeline, I didn't realize I had healed that story until I was doing motivational speaking back then with my other business. I go into women's organizations, women's shelters. I loved working with shelters, maybe because of my background of being a single mom. And I was out with this shelter that the woman there had a really tough life. Most of them had already lost custody of their children and were on the path to healing and trying to get their children back. And there was this one woman, I can still envision her 25 years later. She's in the chair with her arm over the back, watching me talk, you know, giving me the eyes. And I did Q&A at the end, Jenny. And she said to me, "So you're going to sit up there and tell me you don't regret that you are a runaway. You don't regret your high school dropout. You don't regret." And she named everything that I said, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, "Good question." And there was a dry erase board there. And I drew a curly haired stick figure. I said, "Okay, so should I be ashamed that I was a high school dropout? And if so, let's erase part of my arm. So run away. Let's erase part. Like if I'm supposed to be ashamed, let's erase part of me, right?" And I went all the way through till there wasn't much left of the stick figure. I said, "Listen, and this message is for all of you here. If everything that happened to me brought me to who I am today, I have no more shame, no more regret, no more anything. It was all an experience to bring me here with you today, but actually who I was in my body." And it was in that moment I said, "Oh my God, I've healed the stories. Like I've healed the stories. I'm not carrying them anymore. I have no more shame about any of that." And at the end, the toughest woman in the room came up and just hugged me crying.
Oh, I love that, Linda.
Yeah, oh, she could kick my butt. And, and she came up to me and said, "I needed to have permission that I don't need to carry the labels anymore." Because how are they going to heal? How are they going to recover? And that's for all of us, not just someone with the issues that they have. How can we heal our heart and our soul if we are judging it and shaming it for decades to come after the experience, right? And I did that. And hearing her feedback, and you know, share that experience with so many other women, they're like, "Lynn, that's what I do. I feel like I want to erase parts of my life." I go, "Then you're erasing parts of yourself." Mm-hmm. No, as a healer, Have you had that experience before where people feel like I would rather forget that part of my life, but they don't realize that they're fragmented if they do that?
Absolutely. And showing love and kindness to that part of themselves that was wounded or had that experience, instead of that judgment or shame or guilt. And I do often say to my clients, you're the only one that can give yourself permission to move past that. You know, I can say move past it, you know, but who am I? You know, they need to be the ones that give themselves permission. I needed to be the one that gave myself permission to love myself as I was and not constantly repeat the old trauma. What is that going to do? That's just going to disempower us and, yeah, erase some of us. And I know that my time being sick, I know that the grief after my mom passed or caring for her when she was ill, those were two of the toughest times of my life, but they were also two of the most altering times of my life and times where I did learn the most and had the most growth after those times. So just loving ourselves as is, loving ourselves for everything that we've experienced and knowing we did the best we could in that moment.
Yeah. It's like rewriting our story. Like I no longer look at, oh, I was a welfare mom. We'll use that one as an example. Before there was shame and about life decisions that brought me there. And I was on it for, I think, 2.5 years. Now I look back and go, look how courageous you were. Look how resilient you were. Within like 2 years of getting off welfare, I opened my business with $2,400, no business or life or marketing experience, and grew that retail business 5 times, won Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow.
NBC flew me out to Beverly Hills to tape Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus 20 years ago about my life story and how I turned it around. So why would I carry the shame of that and not look at the gifts that came from that experience? See, and I think that's what women forget to do. Let's look at the gifts that came from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at just the darkness and blocking out the light, because they're both there, the darkness and the light in every experience.
They are there. And I think as humans, we're just kind of programmed to look at the darkness. We, you know, government, you watch the news, the first story is going to be always the most horrible one. We're kind of programmed like that, like I said before, about our thoughts are 80% negative, the typical person every day. So it really is about becoming mindful and having that self-love that we can really just switch everything around. We switch our energy, which totally transforms our life.
Oh, I so agree. We're going to take another break, Jenny. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the ways the past can hold us back. So we will be back in a moment. I'm with Jenny Mannion. Please visit her to stay in touch with her, learn about her services, her programs, and upcoming events, and her books, too, at jennymannion.com. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
What if you are living just one perspective of your potential? The truth is, we have lost how to live in partnership with spirit in a participatory way. Sarah Breen, also known as the Shadow Walker, is an integrative shamanic energy medicine practitioner and international best-selling author. Sarah guides you along your journey, reminding you that true healing happens when you walk a path of authenticity and integrity. By doing so, she awakens within you what has been locked away by fears, beliefs, and trauma. With over 15 years working in the energy realms of spirit, she is deeply committed to cultivating sacred space for clients and helps them express their true selves and live free of the chains of their ancestors' unexpressed lives. Learn more at mindspiritmapping.com.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Linda Joy. I am here with Jenny Mannion today. We are talking about self-love, self-worth, why it is so important to heal the stories, and the self-talk. So a moment ago before the break, Jenny, you mentioned about, you know, healing the past. What are some of the ways that staying in the past can hold us back? Because maybe someone's listening right now and they have a pattern repeating, but they're not even aware that maybe they are stuck in the past, right? Or carrying that big weight around. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say to give yourself permission to look at whatever challenge is you are focusing on or that has kept coming back in your life, and ask yourself if you're ready to move past it. You know, are you tired of it? If so, you know, you can give yourself that permission. You can look back and show yourself compassion for whatever happened in the past. I do get a lot of clients with horrendous childhood stories, and I know that they were very painful and that they were victimized. But if we stay there, we're still giving that other person power over us. And there's a lot of work I do with clients on forgiveness of themselves. I love that prayer Ho'oponopono. I love, you know, anything we can do. I love shamanic tools like writing down things that you're ready to release, throwing them in the fire, or getting sticks, blowing your issue into them, burning them. Anything you can do that can really just give yourself that feeling of empowerment. Like, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready for this next phase to begin. And Linda, this is such a time of tremendous transformation. I think this is such an opportunity for us all to be like, yeah, heck yeah. The world's transforming. I'm going to transform with it. You know, I'm not going to stay in the past anymore. This is a huge opportunity for all of us to really heal those wounded spaces in us and give ourselves permission to shine, because we don't know how much of an influence we're having on the people around us just by giving ourselves that permission and not building it up where you have to be this grand leader or anything. Just knowing that by you caring for yourself, you are affecting every single person around you. By healing yourself, that reflects out and there is a ripple effect.
I'll tell you, this really speaks to my soul, because I am one of those women that's a child sexual abuse survivor. And I've talked about that. And when it comes up and stuff like this, but for years, Jenny, back then, 20s and 30s, I wasn't aware. I didn't have my memories till I'm 30 years old. And then it was, as you can imagine, whoosh, right?
Yeah.
And then I made this choice. For about 6 months, I was like, I'm not dealing with this. I don't want to look at this. This can't happen. And I could feel my life force energy draining from me, because I could feel I was energetically caught up and stuck there. And it was something you just said. It was like, I called back my power from that time and yes, faced it. And in choosing to face it so that it wasn't this heavy feeling, I've healed. My life went on a completely different trajectory. I found complete forgiveness with the two people, which was healing in itself. I'm not forgiving the act, I'm forgiving right, the connection. So there was no more dense energy. And if you had asked me if that was ever possible, it would be frickin' no.
Yeah.
It was just an internal. Yeah. It was just internal inside me. One day I woke up and found there was nothing there. That is not the truth of who I am.
Yes.
Right? It was an experience, but it's not the essence of me. It's not the truth of who I am. My illness last year is not the truth of who I am. And when I could come to that awareness, that's when my healing, which was, 30 years ago, that's when my healing began. So I love that you said that we do, and anyone listening, you do have the power to call it back, to call your power back, as Jenny had so beautifully shared. So thank you for bringing that up, because I think there's so many women who believe that because they haven't known there's another way, who believe they can't release the energy of a traumatic experience. And
yeah, and that's what's holding.
I can only speak of my own personal experience. I will not give guidance on it. It's not my expertise. I did it all. I did the counseling. I did the spiritual. I did everything. But I said, this will not be stuck in my body. This will not be my story.
Right. And that's how
I wrote a new story.
Yeah. And that's how you give yourself permission to move forward, rather than, you know, if I was sexually abused as well. I don't talk about it that often unless it comes up, but that's how we take our power back. Instead of repeating that story over and over, you're still giving that person the power and that energy, the power too. And I also will say, like, if someone has been abused in any sort of way or hurt in any sort of way, hurt people hurt people. If you were abused, most likely your abuser was abused. Doesn't excuse it. We can always create a new pattern, but it means they didn't heal that part of themselves. And sometimes around that too, we can let go a little bit. Like you said, it doesn't forgive the act, but we can kind of let go of that attachment of the, you did this to me, so you deserve to suffer kind of energy, like really just letting go and understanding we create from this moment.
Yeah, in other words, it's, for me, it was, the choice was mine. Carry the story or write a new script. And the moment I had that moment of awakening, which was my first spiritual awakening, was 91, I was sitting in the car, contemplating suicide, crying. My daughter was, 6 years old? I said, she'll be better off without me. That's when all the memories were coming. She'll be better off without me. And I cried, I sobbed, I yelled at the divine, which I didn't have a connection with at that time because I was so disconnected from myself. How can you have a connection with the divine, right? When I had, and Jenny, long story short, as I was sitting there, I felt everything get still. So still, like I could feel the breeze coming through the window on my cheek. I could smell the grass, but it was like time had stopped. And I heard, the truth is the essence of who you are was never touched as a child.
That's so beautiful.
And then it said, you get to choose. And when you would think just hearing something, I would be like, what? but want to know what excited me? When I heard, you get to choose, like the word choose sound like it was coming through a bullhorn, right? And it touched something in my soul. And I'm like, choose? Because when you're in the victim energy and victim mentality, right?
Yes.
You forget your spiritual power of choosing. That moment, which I wrote about in the very first book we published in 2010, I grabbed the Dunkin' Donuts napkin, started writing, and I want to feel joy. I want to know what it feels to give and receive love. I filled a napkin with it wasn't even outside things I wanted to accomplish. It was what I wanted to feel. I want to be able to trust. I want to be able to love. I want to be present for my daughter and not in these memories and, you know, stuff like that. Next thing I know, tears were streaming. Turned on the car, drove away, and began my spiritual path. Picked up a Louise Hay book, Marianne Williamson book, and here I am today. Now, it all came down to one power word. The choice was mine. Was I carrying the victim bullshit story that gave the power to someone else? Or was I reclaiming? So choice for me, I love that word because it has been the pivot point for me and anyone listening. The choice is always yours, right? Choice is yours. And Jenny, that's what you do with a lot of your work, right? You help people, if I understand your work correctly, because you also, along with being a mind, body, spirit mentor, you would 15 healing modalities, reconnective healing, shamanism, Akashic records, intuition. So do you help people uncover the truth that they actually have a choice? Because I think they've forgotten they have a choice.
Yes. So that is what, you know, when I was rebranding last year, I mean, that's really what it's about, like reawaken you, reawaken to the love inside you, reawaken to the infinite potential, reawaken to that choice that we all have to be, you know, to be open to step into our divine power, to be open to joy, to be open to the gifts that we were born with, but maybe have forgotten or not nourished. Really be open to just living life today and being present and every day as it unfolds, and doing the best job we can and loving ourselves for that instead of the constant judging and critical mind. And as you said before, it's a constant journey. It's not like I never beat myself up. I'm human. But, you know, we practice this mindfulness, it's a lot shorter. Those negative messages are a lot shorter and we catch them when they come, and we get to choose if we're repeating them and going down the rabbit hole, if we're looking at them. And, you know, sometimes I'll even, like, you know, raise an eyebrow at myself. Ah, that's curious. That's coming up again, you know, but I am choosing. I don't believe that. So we can really start change. And when we change our inner dialogue, we change our life. And the inner dialogue is usually based on the past. It's not based on the reality in front of us. So it really is loving ourselves enough to dive into that, dive into some inner work and heal the places that need to be healed. Like you said before, shine the light in the dark places. That's the only way they get illuminated. And we get to live a much happier life. There's really no, I mean, there's going to be uncomfortable places. When your abuse came up, that's an uncomfortable place. But knowing that by bringing it up, there's a way through it and another side instead of living from that wounded space.
Oh yeah. I'm going to tell you, I was looking through old files. I was clearing some stuff out while I was on my sabbatical in December. And I came across some photos, Jenny, probably 25 years ago. And I'm not talking about my physical appearance. Okay. I'm talking about an energetic appearance. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
So I look at my photo, which we're looking at right now as we're on this interview, right? And I saw that photo and I'm like, holy shit. I feel younger energetically. My body might not always agree, you know, at 60 than in that photo 30 years ago. And I could see the weight on me, like the energetic weight on me. I could see it in the photo. And I'm like, this is real, peeps. When you can look at the shadows and not be afraid of them and go deep into the stories and wounds, what's waiting for you on the other side is so worth it. Take it from someone I lived with severe anxiety and depression for those first 30 years. Now I know why, right? Because there was a weight that I didn't know about. And then found my way. And Jenny, you know me for a long time. We've connected a lot. This is the truth of who I am. I live my life in joy. Does not mean it's perfect. As Jenny knows, my husband just had two brain surgeries in 2 years. I had emergency surgery. But guess what? I can still choose joy in the middle of the bullshit. I don't have to focus on the bullshit. I can focus on the beauty in every moment, even when it's hard.
Yes, I love that, Linda. And your photo that I'm looking at now is just exudes joy, love, happiness. It just is so beautiful. You know, like I look at it and I feel your soul from that picture and how just unconditional love.
Well, thank you. Because the story behind that picture, Jenny, is that was taken 3 days before I was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. They almost lost me. I was in there 13 days. That was this summer. On that day that photographer was coming, I hadn't been feeling well for weeks. I was seeing specialists. They thought it was leukemia or lymphoma. The reason I'm sharing this story is we choose our thoughts, right? So the photo shoot was coming up and I'm like, I am not rescheduling. I need to do this. I felt called in my soul. Mm-hmm. So every day prior to that photo shoot in June, I said, Divine, I need to not just physically feel well, I need to be in my true essence. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to a photo shoot and be, anybody can make you look good.
Right.
I prayed for 3 days, please allow me to feel my essence. Because, you know, when you're really sick, you sometimes don't feel it.
Yeah.
All I can tell you, Jenny, is I woke up that day in my essence, in my truth. That photo shoot was 4.5 hours. It was a long day.
Wow.
4.5 hours on my property here and along the water. And it was the most joyful, fun experience ever. And Dana even said, I can't believe this. You're glowing. You're feeling like it was magical. But I called it in.
Yes.
Little did I know that was a Thursday. By Saturday, I was in the hospital.
Wow.
And so why do I share that story? When people see the photos and when I finally released them, I think 2 months later, everyone's like, the energy, the essence. And I hold my heart and go, thank you, divine. Because I didn't want a photo shoot. I don't give a shit about photos. Mm-hmm. I wanted an energy shoot. I wanted you to feel my essence, feel my love. And that's the comments I got on those photos, Jen.
Right? That is beautiful. I feel them. I feel them.
Yeah. And the, so what's the purpose of me sharing that story? The reason was, is I could have stayed in my story, right? Mm-hmm. I choose to call in a new story. Like, I will be energetically aligned. I will be in my essence. And it would have been a lot easier for me to go, I'm going to cancel this. I'm going to curl up into bed and go into my story about being sick. I chose not to. And when people see that, they're like, but Lynn, you just had those done. And now you're in the hospital bed. And I'm like, yeah, and all is well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was so many lessons from that experience. I would love, let me see what time it is. We still have some time. So do you have an exercise that you could lead us into for tapping into self-love? Something about 2 minutes or so or less, whatever. Am I putting you on the spot here,
Beth? Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah, okay. 2 minutes, let's go. I'll ask for you to put your hands on your heart and close your eyes. You're just going to take a breath in and pause and exhale through your mouth. Take another breath in through your nose, holding your heart, and exhale out. I just want you to bring to mind something that you like about yourself. Maybe it's that you're a good friend, you love to cook, you like to dance, you like to sing, you love nature, you take care of your plants. Something about yourself that makes you smile. Maybe you have a good hair day and you love your hair, whatever it is, something about yourself that you really can say, you know what, that is kind of cool. If you saw that in someone else, you would appreciate it. I want you to really bring that in. Now, as you're thinking about that, I want you to bring in someone from your life that you felt love from. It can be a pet that cuddles up to you. It could be someone in your life, significant other, or a child, or someone that's brought you love. Really physically imagine them there with you. Imagine that love that you felt from them. Just feel that extra validation. You are so lovable. You've been loved by another being. Your soul loves you. You are so worthy. I want you to take a breath in and breathe in that love you felt for yourself and the love from someone else. And as you exhale, just exhale through your mouth. And as you breathe in again, really breathe that love into your heart. Almost feel that love going from your hands into your heart. The love of the gift you have, the love from someone else. And as you exhale, exhale out any resistance to feeling that love. Tell yourself that this is something you can do in a few moments. You could do this in the shower. It's a good way to switch up your energy, just knowing that you do have gifts. You do have a being in your life that has loved you. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Beautiful. And you can feel it. You can feel your energy just dropping in.
I love it. It's so quick that we can do these things to change our energy, or we can choose to go down the negative spiral. But, you know, knowing these little tools is really important to catch ourselves and be like, you know what, I'm getting frustrated at work. I am going to go to the restroom and do this for myself. I'm getting ready to have an uncomfortable conversation. I am going to do this before I do that. You know, really showing ourselves this love builds that empowerment and shows ourselves that we do love ourselves. We do love ourselves. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be fearful of things happening to us. But it's really tapping into that love that really gives it that permission to expand.
Yeah. And you can just feel it too. It's like I left the busy mind, right?
Yes.
It's like you could feel it going, oh, thank you. My energy just started gathering in my heart and just, it was just a soothing experience is the word I'm looking for. And, you know, I'm glad you said that too, Jenny, before we come to a close. Something you said twice is you still experience them too. I still experience the negative chatter. The difference is the more you're aware that you're having negative chatter, the faster you can flip the switch. I call it recalibrated. So my clients know, they're like, Linda, I need to be recalibrated. And we work on that. So I have recalibration tools, but I'm very honest with them. Like, listen, I am human. Jenny's human. Just because I've been on the path for 30 years doesn't mean I don't have my shit.
Right.
The chatter comes when you're worried about someone, you're like, what if, or something in life doesn't go smooth. The difference is the more you practice the different tools, the more aware you become, the less you are caught up in the cycle of the thoughts.
Yes. And that is so powerful. That is so powerful because then you know you are supporting yourself and you're not giving in to the past. You're really starting to create your life from now.
So true, my friend. And I got to tell you, I could spend another hour with you.
I could too. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to invite everyone to visit JennyMannion.com to stay in touch with Jenny, learn about the sacred work she's doing in the world, her readings, her sessions, her programs. She has Embracing Bliss. You have an online class and you have an app, don't you? Love 365.
Yep. And I have little readings I've been doing for the new year to help people, you know, tap into that self-worth and path. So yeah, I mean, I love offering people tools, like you said, like recalibration tools, tools to just keep moving forward, tools to nurture yourself.
So I invite everyone, take advantage, head over to her site, stay connected. Once you're there, follow all her social media links, and you want Jenny's energy in your streams, let me say. I love seeing her in my Facebook stream going, some light coming into my life. So Jenny, thank you. I am so glad to have you back on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Linda. It means so much. And I love being in your energy. And I also smile every time you come up. I feel that love and your beautiful essence. So thank you.
You're welcome. Until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.